the previous program was The Gary Null Show, heard Monday through Friday at noon. It is now 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind with, The Positive Mind coming up. Stay tuned.
Hey everybody, this is Kev O'Donoghue back with you with The Positive Mind and Ben Starr.
Hey Kevin.
Hey Ben. Bringing you some ideas, concepts, and guests. Try and help you lead a more positively minded life. And we want to thank you for the emails and the calls yesterday. A lot of you were on hold for us, and we're going to be taking calls again today because we wanted to keep going with yesterday's topic and really find out more about adult play. A lot of you had really good ideas. Do you know, Ben, how many Frisbees have been sold since, the company started selling them in 1957. Do you know how many Frisbees have been sold?
That's about 60 years. I could only imagine it's in the many, many millions. I don't know.
Over 350 million.
Wow.
300, because we talked about this yesterday. Cody called in yesterday. And he gave us the perfect example of the kind of play that we're talking about, which is really unstructured, un-goal-oriented, unfocused almost kinds of play. These kinds of play are really, really beneficial on a mental health level.
And even crucial on some levels.
I think very crucial on some levels because of socialization. It gives even shy people, and shyness has been a topic we've been talking about, but it gives people who really, have a hard time being with other people, a chance to connect, a chance to be connected. And so Cody gave us that great example of the Frisbee, and I was curious. And, in my research, I realized 90% of adult Americans, have touched a Frisbee or thrown a Frisbee. I don't think anything else compares to that. A hula hoop? We'll have to research hula hoop. But, what else? Nothing else.
It's not surprising, Kevin, but what we found was that, in general, there is a huge benefit to adults to allow themselves to take a break from the everyday, from the routine, from the mundane, and allow themselves to be playful, to be light, to be silly even.
Right.
And the benefit manifests itself across all kinds of aspects of life, in our professional lives, in our personal lives, in our personal relationships, and even in our own mental well-being, our own sense of self. We feel better about ourselves when we give ourselves this opportunity for play.
And there's a question. Are you playful with your partners in life? A great man once said, we don't stop playing because we get older. We get older because we stop playing. Okay? We don't stop playing because we get older. We get older because we stop playing. Are you playing with your partner? Do you take your partner? Does your partner take you out to play? Often as a therapist, I often see my role as trying to get these people to play again together. That's it, It can all be so serious, and yes, people are injured and wounded and want to be heard. It comes down to, are you playing? Can you play?
You were saying yesterday before the show how often, that a couple might come into your office, and you take one look at this couple and one look at the situation and realize, what I need to do here is encourage them to be playful with each other, to be silly, to be lighthearted.
I have to
find
a way.
And then that will almost, things will almost fall into place at that stage.
Yes. Yes, it's true. Without adding some positive experiences into a troubled relationship, the therapy and the third party is going to get nowhere. The goal is to get people back in touch with a feeling that they had when they started their relationship that they're longing to reconnect with. And a good way to do that, I said yesterday, was to take a salsa class because you don't have to talk and you can't be depressed and dance at the same time. So there it is. I mean, this is the kind of play we're talking about. Movement is playing. Any parent with a child knows that getting down on the ground is a playful thing. Movement is a playful thing. When you're playing with your child, let your child lead you. Don't lead the child. Let their exploration take shape. Watch them move around. And let them be the leader. Let them guide. And your mind will just, you know, flatten out and ease up. And the tension will go away. You don't have to achieve anything. I'm letting my child play. And what a fascinating thing to watch. So we wanted to talk more about play today, and we do want to take your calls. We had so many good ideas. Janice yesterday talked about hopscotch and chalk. She said chalk, and I thought, wow. Did you play hopscotch as a kid?
I didn't, but I did like to draw on the sidewalks and the streets with chalk.
Yeah. What would you draw?
All kinds of things. I'd write my name, you know?
Right. Yeah, there's an artist out there who does that, who just, you know, when it rains, it takes his art away.
Oh, I've seen that guy.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that guy.
But imagine how playful he must be.
Artists in general, they are connected to that unstructured play that you talk about. But going back to what we were talking about, the benefits of it, and I'm wondering if you could just remind us, Kevin, because we went over some of them yesterday, but if you could just specifically remind us of why it's so important to be connected to that part of ourselves. And a great way of putting it is think about ways that we can be childlike, but not childish.
Yeah. Childlike. Well, you know, I think when you get people together in a game playing, the child does come out. I mean, watch adults play charades. I mean, first round, second round, but a prolonged game of charades by the third or fourth round, people are moving like they're kids again, you know?
Yeah.
It just brings out this child in them. So I do think that the child does come out. And there are ways that we can do this. There are ways anytime we're with another human being, create some kind of playfulness. We talked about chit-chat, but that's using language. Charades is a game, unstructured. You just, you know, free float. You don't know what's going to come to your mind. And when you go dancing, you often don't know what's going to go to your mind. So let's just recap some of the benefits of play.
Right.
So, believe it or not, you learn how to trust people when you play. Right? There are no rules, or the rules are understood. They're not necessarily written out. When you're making a sandcastle, there's no real rules. Right? But you're with somebody and you're trusting them to carry their weight and you carry yours. And also it's a chance to really absorb the inner workings of another person. I mean, again, you're not using language, but you're moving and you're kind of coordinating your movements with the other person. So you're pretty much imagining what it's like to be inside of them. And this is what we call empathy. You're able to feel what's going on in the other person. Play gives us that chance. Play gives adults a chance to develop empathy. Of course, it boosts your energy and vitality and improves your immune system. But it helps you learn to give and take. The game is over if somebody is stubborn and, you know, is not carrying their weight. That's the great thing about watching kids play unstructured play. Two or three kids who were just not complying with the unwritten rules, the game's over. So everybody has to know what the rules are and play with them. And other people are encouraging the kids, everybody, to play by the rules because they want the game to continue, the play to continue. It also, I mean, if you play with a happy person, if you're, let's say, going through a bad patch and, you know, you find somebody who's, you know, generally cheerful or buoyant and upbeat and you hang out with them, it's kind of contagious, you know. It's you absorb, like I say, when
absolutely
you absorb what they're feeling, and then it makes you become somewhat lighter.
Well, it's a lot like how an introvert can learn to be more extroverted, right? By observing others and observing techniques that an extrovert might use.
Yeah, or a shy person, because introverts, you know, it's very hard to change And why should you? I mean, introversion is a beautiful thing. In fact, we encourage introspection, but introversion can be uncomfortable, but it also can be a very wonderful way to go through life. But you're right. I think it with an extrovert, it can encourage introverts to
And so likewise, what you're saying, Kevin, is a less playful person can learn to be more playful. So if you're out there, if you think of yourself as a serious person without, you know, with no time or patience for this, again, it's also important to note there's different types of playful adults, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
I mean, we saw research.
Well, a magician.
We saw research from Penn State University that identified four distinctly different types of playful adults.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
We have the type of playful adult who might outwardly enjoy being silly and fooling around with a friend, relative, or colleague. Mm.
So do you know, like, adults that come to a party and play with kids?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, that's probably the most extroverted type of play and playful personality.
Right.
On the flip side of that, you have the whimsical. This is kind of the polar opposite, but the whimsical, unusually playful person who exhibits interest in unusual things and gets amused by small everyday observations.
They must be a seven in the Enneagram.
Right. You know, the person who might be walking down the street and just something catches their eye and makes them laugh.
Hmm.
Are you able to be in that present, that in the moment, to where you're walking down the street and maybe, you know, the way someone is holding their briefcase or just the sound of a car horn, instead of letting it irritate you, are you willing to see the absurdity in it?
Or a plastic bag floating through the air, you know, in a city street.
Yeah.
You know? But I agree. You know, there are chances to be whimsical.
I think that's the type that I generally identify with, Kevin, is that I tend to pick out the absurdity and the silliness in mundane everyday situations and take some pleasure and some humor from it.
Yeah.
And it keeps me grounded. It keeps me keeps me feeling okay.
Hmm.
I think a lot of situations that people might look at as annoying or mundane, humdrum.
And you're generally a happy guy.
In general.
That's how I feel you. You always come in with some a bunch of energy. You're rarely down. And, you know, you somehow find a way to amuse yourself. Obviously, your love of music, it must sustain you in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. But I'm saying also the notion of looking at an everyday situation and just finding the humor, finding the lightness, the silliness, the absurdity in everyday regular situations.
Yeah.
Right. So that's another type of playful adult. Again, we're talking about there are four types of playful adults found.
So what was the first again?
At Penn State University. The first one was the type of adult who just kind of outwardly enjoys fooling around, very gregarious, right? Not shy at all.
Okay.
Right?
And not serious. So they're generally unserious. This is an unserious person or, you know.
Right.
Or that's the image I get. Anyway, go ahead.
The second type were listed as those who were generally lighthearted and not preoccupied by future consequences of their behavior.
That's Ben Starr.
Well, I can't be all of them. I was the last one.
Yeah, well, that's the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no. I read the last one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
As I was describing, really the opposite of the first one.
I see.
The third one is those who play with thoughts and ideas.
Abstract sequentials.
Yep.
That's me.
That's right.
Yeah.
People who like
always.
To play
I'm always doing
really
that.
Mentally and intellectually.
Yeah. So we have the seven in the Enneagram and the abstract sequential as two types of play. But I think we probably cut it down to concrete random also. But so play takes many shapes for many adults. And the more unstructured it is, the more that these qualities can come out, the more types of personalities can come out. We wanted to take calls. So yesterday, just to recap, Janice told us about chalk and hopscotch and double dutch, and Cody told us about Frisbee and going to the mountains to just, you know, take a guided trail with maps. And also there was two other people, but we'll get to them today, hopefully. So 212-757-5555, 212-757-5555. We want to talk about more play. It's August, after all. It's the end of the summer. And have you played this summer? Did you get out and have some unstructured time? Did you get to Coney Island? I think an amusement park, Ben, is a chance to play. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Right? There's a randomness, and there's an uncertainty, there's an unknown, and you're constantly confronting chances and opportunities. Oh, maybe I'll go over there, or maybe I'll go over there. You know, maybe I'll try that.
It's a free-for-all.
It's a real free-for-all.
Yeah. It's sensory overload in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, it can be. But
all the lights and the noises and the smells. And
But it's playful. You can be really playful there. And it's great to take kids. So again, 212-757-5555. Tell us how you have played. And Ben, we haven't talked about the importance of play in the workplace. Yesterday you mentioned a friend who goes and plays basketball at his lunch break.
Yeah.
You know, we got an email from somebody who says they take their camera during lunch break and goes around the city. Sometimes they'll even jump on the subway during their lunch break and go two stops and take photographs two stops away. There, I thought, that's a great way to play, is take a camera and just go explore. So we got an email from Kathy who told us about taking photographs during her lunch break. And Ben's friends, who plays solo hoops, not competition, right?
No, he just has a basketball he keeps under his desk.
So the type of play we're talking about is play where you're not competing, there is no extrinsic goal, and you're just free-flowing, and the unknown, you're confronting the unknown and the uncertainty. So, there we go.
Let's take a quick call. We have Mother Pigeon on the line. Mother, thanks for calling in.
Mother Pigeon.
Hello.
There's a playful name.
Hi.
Hi, Mother Pigeon.
Hello, gentlemen. So you're talking about play, which is my favorite thing. I live a life of playing. Wow. I'm an artist. I mean, you can call it whatever you want. I'm creative. I like to make things and do silly things. But one thing that I love is pigeons. And so I make these fake pigeon sculptures, and I put them in parks, and people get really excited about it because most people don't like pigeons, and I adore them, and I adore them. They ground me. They're hilarious. They're they're New Yorkers, and anyway, they're the true New Yorkers. They don't pay rent. They they eat our trash, and they survive under harsh conditions. But anyway, I started doing this 3 years ago, and it's been an incredible thing. It's my income. It's my life.
You have to bring us one here for the studio.
Oh yeah,
we want a pigeon.
Okay, Austin, I will send you a pigeon. But you know, I mean, I just feel like so many people just pass up beautiful things in the world and don't see the beauty, like you were saying, and even a plastic bag, not that I would compare a pigeon to a plastic bag, but
sure,
just,
sure.
You know, just that, you know, they don't see these incredible things around that can make your world magical and beautiful. And I don't know, I just do it all day long. I'm looking at people and things that way.
Well, listen, two things. First of all, email me, Kevin at the Positive Mind, all of the things that you find playful and how you do it. We'll do shows around this. This is terrific. You're the kind of person. Pigeons, I mean, you know, so many people look at pigeons in such a terrible way, and you found a way to look at them in a really positive way.
Make art out of it. And I make a living, a beautiful living, and people constantly come to me and say, "Wow, really? Pigeons?" And then the next time they'll come to me, and I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm totally looking at them in a way different way that I did before." And it's really exciting, and you know, I mean, just bonding with nature. It's all we have. We don't have anything.
I agree.
You know, we have the street, we have, you know, a few trees, but we've got these birds. They're big and they're cute and you know, they're there, and they're crossing the crosswalk with us, you know, I mean, you could go on and on about it, but
listen,
you can't even just, you know.
What's your real name?
That's not very playful. This is
okay. We'll leave it anonymous.
You want to be an adult. So you want to be an adult. Be like, okay, what's your real name? People do that all day long. Like, no, really, what's your real name? No, I'm Mother Pigeon.
Okay. Listen, you kicked us off, and we thank you for the call. And you can connect with me at Kevin at the Positive Mind. But thank you for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mother Pigeon. 212-757-5555.
Is that the number two adult type of play? She finds things whimsical, or just walking down the street.
Yeah, that's my type of play, man. That's what when I look around at the world and I just see just the silliness and the absurdity, even as something like a pigeon, right? And other people might get annoyed by them. And, something about just a huge flock of pigeons.
Yeah.
Taking up a huge amount of space.
Yeah.
People get frustrated by that.
I know.
But I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, and you see these people who feed the pigeons, and they're comfortable with the pigeons landing on their shoulders, and they're just laughing, Their whole body is like a pigeon body, pigeon sculpture, and they're totally relaxed, totally at ease, totally playful. So this is the type of play that, we're looking for. We're looking to hear from you. Tell us about how you find play in this big, vast city of ours. It's August. And have you played this summer? Have you gotten out? Have you gotten to the beach? Have you thrown a frisbee? 212-757-5555. 212-757-5555. Yesterday we talked about how psychopathology develops in the inverse ratio to the amount of play that you are denied. So we were talking about children who are denied play and animals that are denied play and the ramifications of that. And we mentioned a lot of statistics about the differences. Yes.
Let's take another caller. We have Emmanuel on the line. Emmanuel, thanks for calling in today.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Thanks for the call.
Such an important topic. I mean, it cannot be overrated how important this topic is. I ride around every day, and I do the kind of observation in terms of looking at my environment in the world. I equate this to Rachel Carson's Silent Spring, book about the birds. It's absolutely a silent summer because I've never had that kind of experience. I grew up in the streets. And
Did you hear us yesterday?
I heard you guys yesterday. I tried to get in, but
you knew what we
couldn't.
Meant about the playing on the streets of New York, and that you don't see kids out there now.
Absolutely not, and especially that kind of free play, that kind of broadening of the imagination. It's all been co-opted and streamlined, and I think it's been happening for a long time, but it's definitely happening within the technological culture that we're immersed in
Emmanuel,
right now.
Emmanuel, I'm going to agree with you, but I'm going to cut to the chase. How are you getting play in your life?
Well, how I get play in my life is by getting up every day. I have a totally unstructured life. I'm an artist, and I work for myself.
What kind of art do you produce?
Well, I do constructions, painted constructions, and I work for myself. I sell music on the street. I sell records on the street. So I'm constantly moving along in the creative boundaries.
Love it.
And one thing I wanted to say before I leave, there is a book that I just got finished reading. It's called Glow Kids. Screen addiction is hijacking our kids and how to break the trance. And it's by Nicholas Karadakis, PhD. It is an absolutely essential book in terms of what we're talking about right now.
I love it. Send me an email, Kevin at the Positive Mind, sending me the title. And we'll talk about it on the show. Keep listening, Emmanuel. Nice to hear from you.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Emmanuel. 212-757-5555. We'd love to hear from you how you've integrated play into your life as an adult, or what the difference is, how you see the difference between the way you played as a child versus how your children play.
Yeah.
This is the topic today. We're talking about play, its importance, its benefits, its mental, emotional, and spiritual, psychological benefits. Give us a call, 212-757-5555.
And, the city has made it an important objective to create more spaces for kids to play. So, parks exist for people to go play in them of course, obviously to enjoy, you know, the nature of it, but also to play and meet others in it. And this is definitely a priority of our city. So while Emmanuel was talking about Rachel Carson and how kids are stuck in the technological age and not getting to these parks, we're constantly developing more parks in this city.
Let's hear from someone, I think, Kevin, who wants to touch on exactly what you just said. We have Diane in the Bronx. Hi, Diane.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, great. And I think this is a wonderful discussion, and it's a great idea because I think they don't even require recess as a,
yes,
you know, as something that kids have to do anymore.
That's right.
So, you know, they're not getting it. They're not going to get it. So, you know, maybe it's, how you say, usually the children are going to lead, but I'm saying I think us more mature folks will have to show them the way.
I love it.
And the idea that I was working on, I call it the city as gym. And it came to me because, well, I got into an issue with my building. We have an amenity, which is workout place.
Oh.
Okay, but there was, for single people, they were charging us more money than if you were a family. So as part of that, I rebelled and said, I'm not going to go and use it. But, you know, I'm trying to keep in shape, so
yeah.
I'm like, well, what am I going to do?
Right.
So when you said go outside, I'm like, well, it could be raining. You don't get a chance even to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using
run up and down the stairs in the apartment.
Exactly, exactly.
Go. But take a ball.
Run up and down the stairs.
Take a ball with you.
No. I take water, things, and use those as weights. Then you do interval training. You run around the hall as well.
Diane, okay, one question before I go.
Yeah.
What kind of unstructured play are you doing?
This is unstructured. I do we have like a little rubber mat in an area near the handball court in our area. So now that mat is good for rope jumping.
Okay.
You could do running drills.
Okay.
A lot of this is just things you want to do yourself.
How about double dutch? When was the last time you played double dutch?
Oh, no, I do jump roping, too.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
And I'm trying to get a couple other people to do teach them how to do double dutch.
Love it.
So
because
I'm
yesterday Janice talked about double dutch. You sound like a person who knows how to double dutch.
Yes. But it's, you know, you got to find other people who,
that's
you know,
it.
You got to be able to jump into the double dutch rope.
Listen,
it's
Diane, thank you for calling us. Keep calling.
All right.
Have
take
a good
care.
Day. Bye-bye. Jump rope, you know? Muhammad Ali used to jump rope, and he looked like he did it playfully. You know, he looked like a guy who was being creative while he was jumping rope. You know, but some people take it so seriously that, you know, they have to do their 20 minutes of jump rope.
He was a creative talker, too.
He sure was. So how about poetry? I mean, poetry is play. How rapping, you know? Music in general. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how important play is in the workplace, right? Ben, you did some research. Tell us a little bit just to get people.
Yeah, well, after the break, we're going to talk about what certain companies have been doing to encourage a sense of play among employees because they realize that employees who are engaging in this type of play, who are happier, who are more fulfilled, make better employees.
Yeah.
And it's really as simple as that, Kevin. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to take some more of your calls at 212-757-5555. And we're going to talk about the benefit of play among children as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to recap that very important topic we talked about yesterday.
If you're just joining us right now, you are tuned into The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue. We're here every Tuesday and Wednesday. You can find us online on the iTunes Store. It's a free podcast. If you ever miss an episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and get every episode downloaded onto your computer or your mobile device absolutely for free. And you can find us here on West 57th Street at the Positive Mind Center. Send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. Or Kevin, you can reach Kevin directly at kevin@thepositivemind.com. We'll be back right after this with more of your phone calls and more discussion on the benefits of play and how it can help us mentally, emotionally, psychologically. Back after this.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got it here. Oh, I feel nice. The sugar runs spine. I feel nice. The sugar runs spine. So nice. So nice. I got it here. I feel nice, a sugar and spice. So nice, so nice, I got it here. I feel nice, like sugar and spice. So nice, so nice, that I got it here. Wow, I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I would. So good, so good, 'cause I got it here. Hey!
James Brown here on The Positive Mind, WPAI 99.5 FM. Thank you for tuning in today. We're talking about the benefits of play, the psychological benefits of play. I see Kevin over there on the other side of the studio from me being all goofy and playing around during the break, trying to be silly.
It changes things. I tell you, that was a great choice, Ben. You know, I'm feeling playful now. Just you always surprise me with the music, and you nailed it. That's great. It's playful. Ben is playful with music.
I am. That's true.
You can always count on him.
That's true.
So we're going to talk about the workplace, but I did want to do something today, maybe for the, you know, when we take calls second half of the show. There's a box, and I want you all to envision a box out there, a big square box, and divide the box in half and then divide it in half again so that you have four boxes inside the one big box. Okay? And so in
let's try to visualize this.
Yeah. So four cubes inside a square. Right.
So, okay, I'm going to try to follow you along right now.
Go ahead.
Everyone at home, if you're out there listening,
draw a big square.
Grab a pen and a piece of paper and do this along with us. Yeah. We're going to draw a large square in the center of the paper.
Okay.
Okay, right. I have my square.
Right. Now divide that in half down the middle.
Okay, I'll draw a line splitting it right in two.
Vertically, right?
Yep.
A vertical line. Now draw a horizontal line.
Okay.
Dividing it into
so
quarters.
So now my large square has been broken into four smaller quadrants.
Right.
Of so equal size.
Right. And in the upper left, you write the word work.
Okay. Top left, work.
Work. And in the other one, in the top right, you write the word play.
Play.
And in the bottom left, you write the word love.
Okay. So we have work, play, and then bottom left says love.
Love.
And what's the bottom right?
Well, let's take calls and ask people. What do they think? There is an answer.
Well, what is this exactly? What are these?
These are four qualities. Well, first of all, these are the four qualities. They're the four things that human adults have to do or should do to maintain, you know, a sense of equilibrium and balance.
Okay, work, play, right. Love.
Love and?
Is it eat?
No, it's not eat. So when we take your calls, we're going to have you answer two things. One, what do you think goes in the fourth box? And then also more about play. But play is in there, you see. So what you want is to have a balance of these. Many, many people have 80% work, 5% play, 5% love, or 10% play and 5% love, and then this 5% of this other one.
Okay, so basically, Kevin is asserting that all healthy adults do four critical things: work, play, love, and then a fourth thing that's a mystery thing. He's asking you to call in and see if you can guess what that fourth one is. Give us a call at 212-757-5555. See if you can nail it. My first guess was eat, but I was being rather facetious.
Okay. You could say, well, I won't say anything.
We're just going to assume that people are getting their physical base level hierarchy of needs met.
Yes.
Their shelter and their food and whatnot.
Okay. Right.
But
yeah, that's assumed. No, these are things, these are activities, these are things that, you know, we as adults do and in many cases have to do. We have to work. But we should have a balance of all these. And when your work life is 70% of your daily life or your life in general, then you're going to be out of balance and you shouldn't be rough on yourself. This is something I do with clients. It's how much of your life is work? How much of your life is play? How much of your life is loving? And then this fourth thing, which we'll talk about. So play is one of these factors. And play is often ignored. It's the first thing that goes. Again, we don't stop playing because we get older. We get older because we stop playing. And so I try to give people a visual and say, put a percentage in each. Ideally, they would all be 25%. Ideally, they'd all be 25%. Although love is so, you know, much fun and feels so good. That, you know, you might want 90 or 100% of the box being love. A lot of people, some people have found a way to love their work. So, you know.
Two birds, one stone sort of situation.
Yes, and they sort of go to work and say, I go to play today. I'm going to my play. So those are the fortunate few. For those of us, you know, who have to work and it isn't so much play or love. In my case, it is kind of love. I do love my work. Then you have to find ways to get these other elements in there. Other elements like play, love, into your work life. So, Ben, tell us a little bit about companies that are doing something to encourage play amongst their employees.
Well, we've seen that a lot of these more modern companies, more in touch with important trends and trends in the workplace, have found that fostering a workplace that encourages a sense of play results in their employees being more satisfied, happier people who in turn do better work.
Yeah.
So one company in specific, Kevin, particularly a company that we were reading about who had gone out of their way to even create specific dedicated spaces in the workforce, in the workplace, where people could play with Legos or bring their dogs to work.
Really?
Right, yeah. Or people, you know, were allowing this company was allowing their employees to attach a treadmill to their desk so they can just walk while they're working.
Oh, wow.
Even letting them go as far as writing on their desks, on the physical desks or on the walls, writing ideas.
Right.
And it sounds crazy.
Right.
But, yeah.
You know, there's a paint now. You can write it and you can... Companies are getting paint where they're putting it on their walls and having conferences where people can go up onto the paint and draw their ideas, draw visuals and images and ways to condense information in a very short spot. So that doesn't surprise me. But, it, you know, to take up large amounts of space for employees to play really says something about the willingness or the investment that companies are willing to take in this idea that play, unstructured play, is really critical to productivity.
Let's take a quick call. I think we have, let's see who we have on the line here. I think we have Michelle on the line. Are you there?
That's me. How are you? Loving the show.
Hey, thank Michelle.
You. Thanks for calling us today.
And I think I know what the fourth box would be, and what is everything we have in this world. It's
okay.
To dream. It's to imagine. It's to create.
I love it.
It's to dream.
Yeah, I'm going to put that in there. It's not the answer, but.
Really?
Yep. It's not the answer.
I mean, you know.
I love it.
Da Vinci, Michelangelo, they dreamt about flying. They flew. People dreamt about going to space. They went. They dreamt about under the ocean.
Oh, I love
they
it.
Got there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think it's our human nature to dream and to create and to make and to, you know, create.
Michelle, wonderful idea. I'm going to write the guy. Well, it's a famous psychiatrist who came up with this. But,
okay.
But I think for our age, dream, you know, this was back in the 70s he wrote this, but in our age, maybe we should add imagination. I think I find imagination, living without imagination, intolerable.
Of course. Not living at all. Well, I'm a hippie from the 60s, so that's what I feel all about, creation and imagining and making beautiful things with our mind. That's what we're here for. I mean, we drew on cave walls. We blew into shells. This is what life's about.
Yes. Are you still doing that? I mean, has your aesthetic blossomed from the 60s or?
Well, I always did artwork and different type of, you know, ceramics and, right. And all sorts of everything, stained glass, and I make cards. I do a lot of paper crafts, but I've always been a creative person.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I had to work, you know, to raise my son by myself. So, but I do all these. I still make gifts for people, and I love it.
I love your answer. I think your answer is better than the one the psychiatrist gave.
Tune
in for the end,
right,
where we'll give the answer. You bet. Thanks, Michelle.
Okay,
thank you so much, Michelle. 212-757-5555. That's the number to call. We are doing a little exercise here, and we're going to see if we can get...
We're trying to be playful, right?
Yeah.
This is the unknown. We're not giving the answer, so it's kind of like everybody's perked up a little bit. Okay, we're getting flooded with calls, but we're trying to get to you. But this is a great answer. I mean, imagination would be a great thing. How do you live without imagination? And I think with one of the benefits of all the technology that we're getting and how education is changing in some ways is that imagination is getting more encouraged.
Let's take another call. Janine, are you there?
Yeah, hey.
Hi, Janine.
How you doing? I'm from Brooklyn.
Thank you. Did you do this exercise with us with the squares?
Yeah, and my thing is dance. I dance and sing all day long. I play music. And I was saying, even when I'm in the car, I sing and I'm able, I have that coordination where I can move and drive and I'm very safe. You know, I'm 56 years old. Thank God. You know what I'm saying?
I have that
coordination. And my kids are like, they hate me. They're 30 and 25. I embarrass them. I embarrass you. What's wrong with you? I'm the mother that never made my kids. We had to get our Wigglies out after school. We had to go to the park. We'll do the homework later. We never home during sunshine.
Wow. You know? You got your kids outdoors.
No. I'm jealous.
Oh, yeah. I got a 30 and a 25-year-old. One became a physical education teacher. But anyway, make a long story short.
Wonderful.
Play was always our main thing.
Are they grateful to you for it? Do they thank you, say, Mom?
No, I don't know, but I got great kids.
Wonderful.
Like I said,
great.
One is a physical education teacher. She's amazing.
Yeah.
The other one's a pharmacist.
Okay.
But they're embarrassed of me because I'm such a playful, fun-loving person. What the hell is that? Everybody else loves me. What is that about?
Tell them this phrase.
And you know what?
People...
All kids are attracted to me. I go to Coney Island. I go jogging with my big red earphones on, and I'm singing and I'm dancing and I meet people. And I'm like, but what is it with my two daughters? I don't get it.
Look, people stop
this
playing.
This is who I am. Yeah.
Yeah. People stop playing because they get older. Tell them you.
Yeah, but they played their whole life.
Yeah, but you're not getting.
I have one daughter who's like a princess. She always wore the tap shoes. We talk. And then she realized, it's really hard to climb. But I didn't say no. Wait, you want to wear your tap shoes? Go right ahead. Wear the tap shoes. But we're going to the park.
Okay. Michelle, you have a playful
so
spirit.
Important.
We appreciate the call.
Thank you, guys. I accidentally found this station the other night. And you guys are fabulous. I'm a WBGO member. Let me tell you, I got a better WB here. And you guys are fabulous.
Wonderful. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Send us an email at positivemind@wbai.org.
And tell your daughters to lighten up a little bit and live a little and be silly.
I know. Look, I know.
Tell them to be careful. They're going to get old if they stop playing.
I know. Well, no, I know. I think my big one still plays, but it's okay. Like they look at me like, what are you, crazy? My husband calls me bipolar. Yeah, I'm bipolar, whatever I am.
But you're the good kind.
I'm a good kind. Whatever. I don't even know if there's a bad kind.
All right,
I don't
Michelle.
Take medicine.
Yeah.
I take vitamins, sunshine, and exercise.
Beautiful. Thanks for calling
Love
us.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
212-757-5555. That's the number to call. We are talking about playfulness today. And we're going to take a few more of your calls. We do have about 10 to 12 minutes left. So we're hopefully get as many of you in as we can before the break, before we come back next week. But right now, I think we have Dennis on the line. Is that right? Is this Dennis?
Hello.
No, hi. It's not Dennis. How are you?
Yes, it is Dennis.
Oh, sorry, Dennis. Hey, how are you?
Very good. Yeah, I think... I'm 73 years old, and I don't think I ever grew up. I'm agreeing with your premise here.
Wonderful.
I think the fourth box should be time.
Time.
Time, because it's something that is so important, and you don't have... You have work, you have play, you have love, you have this, but...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Time, I find, is so important...
Yeah.
And it's not on anybody's list. I find that when I just be by myself and I have time, or if I have time in the day, if something doesn't happen and I got a half hour.
Great idea. You know? I think you make a good point. This is a great exercise because people are coming up with really great ideas. So you're basically saying you need time to relax.
Well, just time to sort of clear. You know, I find that if you have, you know, all of a sudden you find like a half hour or somebody doesn't show up or whatever.
Mm.
You can sign a think, or at night, if you just think by yourself.
I love
it. It's not play, it's not work, not even leisure.
I see what
it's
you're saying.
It's just sit in the woods, or look out the window, and just let your mind sort of come to you, you know, like take you instead of, you know, you taking your head around all the places.
I agree with you 100%, Dennis. I think we're going to make this a 9-square cube instead of 4 squares, because I think time is really a great, great idea, and imagination and dreams. Creativity could also be in there.
And you need time for that.
Yeah, but how are you staying so playful?
I have no idea. I enjoy what I do. I've always done whatever I want. Well, I guess I've always done what I wanted to do, and I found that I could make money and live and do nice.
Okay. You're one of those who found work that they can also play at.
I'm very fortunate, yes. I'm very, very fortunate. And I found a woman who lets me be me and, you know, doesn't want me to be anybody else.
Are you playful with her, Dennis? Are you playful together?
Well, I try and be, but she's very serious sometimes. It's hard to, you know, but, you know, we found each other. But, I mean, it's almost 48 years we've been married.
Wow. Well, that's what's her name? See?
Marie.
Dennis and Marie. Wow.
That's it.
Well, that's great. Yeah. You sound like a playful guy, and keep calling us, Dennis.
Okay, be well.
Be well. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dennis. We have gotten a lot of phone calls. Unfortunately, we're not always able to get to everyone.
Yeah.
We're going to take a few more before the end of the show today. But the question we were asking was, we drew a box, and we cut that box into 4 boxes. And we said that these 4 sections are really the hallmark of the well-adjusted, healthy human being, adult.
Yep.
And they include work, play, love, and a 4th one that was blank. And we're allowing, you know, we're asking those of you to call in and say what you think the 4th box should be as the 4th most essential thing for an adult to really be doing. So we've gotten many answers. We heard from Dennis, who said time. We've gotten other people said health Rest. We've had some people call
Diane
in.
Diane said...
Diane said dance, I think.
No, Diane said imagination.
Janine said dance, maybe. Yeah. Imagination, laughter, rest, sleep, working out. We've gotten a lot. Purpose. We've gotten many of you have given us different answers. Let's take another call. Let's see. We still haven't heard...
The answer.
The answer, though. So, according to Kevin.
No, according to a famous psychiatrist.
According to a famous psychiatrist. Yes. Okay. Let's take another quick call. Let's take a few more quick calls before we have to go. We have Amanda on the line. Hi, Amanda. What do you think the fourth one is?
Hi, guys. So I think the answer is like or spirituality.
Okay.
I feel like you have to have something to keep you going, to either be working or playing or loving. Like there has to be some kind of connection something you believe in that will help the other three squares keep going.
Yes.
Otherwise, it would die out if you're not
right.
A way to stay grounded, then.
Sense of purpose. Yeah. Sense of purpose.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the answer, but I feel like that's
well, you know what? This psychiatrist I'm going to give the answer to at the end did talk about the importance of meaning in life and finding it through your work or your creativity or your spirituality. So, yes, this is one of the components that he expands upon, but it's not the fourth box. So,
oh, okay.
I kind of think it's going to go in our larger box of nine, because I think it really should be expanded at this day and age. Again, this was writing in the 70s. So, but great guess, and tune in for the next 5 minutes, and you'll get the answer.
All right, I will. Thank you guys so much. And I just found you guys like randomly scanning my radio, and it's been like amazing to listen to you guys. So,
oh, well, thanks for listening. We're here. We're here every Tuesday and Wednesday.
Thanks, Amanda.
Okay, thank you so much.
Sure. All right, take care. 212-757-5555. We're going to take a couple more quick calls. Again, we're asking for what you think the fourth component in the, let's say, four traits of well-adjusted and healthy adult human beings are.
Yeah. And for your mind, again, this is a psychiatrist talking about a balance in the mind and spirit and soul. So think about your mind. You know, what does your mind need?
Right. So, and as a reminder, the first three are work, play, and love. And we're asking for those of you out there to really see if you can venture a guess as to what the fourth one is. Let's take another quick call. We have Catherine on the line. Hello, Catherine.
Hi.
Hey, Catherine.
Could you turn your radio down for us, please?
Yes, I will. Hi.
Hi there.
Hey.
I think the fourth quadrant is learn.
Oh, Catherine. How did you get so smart?
Just comes naturally.
Good for you. That's it. It's learn. How'd you, good. Well, what do you think about that? Tell me how you see it as essential.
I think that people, especially as we age, we need to stay more curious in life, and I am one of those curious people, sometimes overly so, to the point where I want to know everything.
Oh.
But I know that's not possible, but I think that we need to be open to what's going around us and to be able to look at it and evaluate it.
Yeah. And, well, you got it, Catherine. That's really it. It's work, play, love, and learn. So according to who's the psychologist? Or
Dr. William Glasser.
Sure, yeah. So he said that these were the four things.
That, you know, you need to have in balance in order to feel emotionally and mentally healthy. In balance. Mm-hmm. How important, so what would you put work as, Catherine, through your life? 20, you know, is anything?
Oh, I'm out of balance. I got to tell you. I've got to be honest with you. I'm out of balance, especially right now. In terms of
So we're,
work, too much, not enough play, not enough play at all.
Yeah. It's the first thing that goes. That and love. Of course, you need a partner. You need, or if you have your children. Do you have children?
Yes. No, they're grown.
Do they think you're too curious about them?
No, I don't really butt in too much. I have my own, you know, things going on.
Right, right. So what about it? I mean,
what I do is I try to supply them with information. Whatever they do with it is their concern.
Yeah. Yeah. do you play with them, and have you played with them growing up? I mean, how are you getting some play, or what do you think you need to do?
This program has been a particular interest to me because it makes me realize that how out of balance I am and have been in the past.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Right.
So it's an important eye opener for me.
Well, you're very brave to come on the air and talk about it. I do hear, you know, this yearning for some kind of play and spontaneity in your life. And how about dancing? We're going to take a chance here, Catherine. Do you live by yourself?
No.
You don't?
Myself and my husband. Oh. We're retirement age.
Uh-huh. Can you still dance?
Not at the moment because I have structural problems.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And I love to dance. I mean, we always did dance together.
Yeah.
And we loved to dance. Yeah. But that's kind of going by the wayside now.
Mm. Yeah, my parents.
I'll have to dance in place.
No, I know. I think my parents were happiest when they were on the dance floor together. So, so yes, you're missing.
In fact, I met my husband at a dance.
Oh wow! So you're,
and, there
you
go. Yeah.
So, all right. So, what would you tell people out there about these four squares, and which one do you think now, having lived your life, is the most important for you?
Loving.
Yeah.
I think that kind of encompasses all of them, or can to some degree.
Yeah.
Because if you're loving and you love, then you will see ways to participate in all the other three.
I love it. Catherine?
To your own advantage and to others.
You're ending our show for us, and we really appreciate your call. Please keep calling us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
Bye-bye.
And thank you to everyone else who called today and everyone who listened and contributed and who sat there at home and did this exercise with us. And thank you to everyone at WBAI. Great colleagues. Thank you, Kevin, for being here.
Thanks, Ben.
We're here every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. We will be back next week right here, 99.5 FM at 1 p.m. And you can find us on iTunes podcast for free. Just look up The Positive Mind. We're also here at the Positive Mind Center on West 57th Street. Send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org, or you can contact Kevin directly, kevin@thepositivemind.com. We'll see you next week.